You know, the future of our food might be in the middle of a mountain on a remote island above the Arctic Circle. That's where the Svalbard Global Seed Vault was built 4 years ago. Right now, there is more agricultural biodiversity in the vault's one room than anywhere else in the world. Well, Carrie Fowler heads up the vault as executive director of the Global Crop Diversity Trust, and he joins us from his base in Rome. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
So what is this seed vault about? What's its purpose?
Its purpose is just to secure the survival of the different seed collections around the world, seed collections of agricultural crops, I should say. Those collections are very, very valuable, and they're used by plant breeders and researchers to develop new varieties of our agricultural crops to keep current with pests and diseases and hopefully to produce higher yields. And they're also used in basic biological research. But the problem is that these seed banks, the seed collections in the real world, so to speak, are just located in buildings, and all kinds of things can happen. They can get in the way of war and civil strife, and there can be accidents and floods and hurricanes and all sorts of things. And if you're storing a seed sample there, and that's the only sample of that particular variety of crop, and something happens to the building that it's in, it's gone forever and it's extinct, just like the dinosaurs. So we needed a plan B, so to speak, and we went to rather far lengths to find it up to Svalbard.
It sounds pretty remote.
It's 78 degrees north. It's the farthest you can fly on a regularly scheduled airplane, but it's still accessible. We can get seeds in and out if we need to. And it's also extremely cold, as you can imagine. And if you want to conserve seeds for a long time, what you do is you dry them down to a low moisture content to reduce the biological activity, and then you freeze them at about -3, -4 Fahrenheit.
So essentially, even if the system, the electricity fails or whatever, the natural environment is going to keep them at the desired temperature.
That's right. Inside the mountain, we built this tunnel about 130 yards into the solid stone mountain, and at that depth, the natural temperature is below freezing already, and even at that natural temperature, most of these seeds would be viable decades from now. So we really think that we'd have a long time to get somebody up there to repair the machinery if the machinery failed.
Now, I understand you have something like 740,000 samples in the
vault.
Right. But that recently a lot of fuss was made over an addition to your wheat collection. And what's the story behind that particular seed?
Well, that particular variety was called Norin 10. It's actually an old Japanese variety. It's documented to go back to the 1930s. And it was collected by somebody on the staff of General MacArthur after 1945. And the interesting thing about that particular variety is it's really short. At that time, normal wheat varieties were about 4 feet tall, and this one is about half that height. And the importance of that is that with modern plant breeding, the plant breeders were able to produce wheat varieties that were much higher in their yield, which means they put a lot of grain at the top of the stalk.
And right.
When a wind came up, it tended to blow the wheat over onto the ground, and the farmer couldn't harvest it. But this Norin 10 variety, being shorter and stockier, so to speak, it could hold the higher grain weight at the top and not tump over.
This was billed as the ultimate heirloom wheat in the vault. Do you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't say that. We've probably got about 140,000 unique varieties of wheat up there. One of the ones I really like is a variety that was collected by a friend of mine, my hero in this field, named Jack Harlan. And he collected it in 1948 in Turkey. And he described it as a miserable-looking kind of wheat. In fact, when it entered the United States, it didn't even have a name. It had a number, 178383, I think. But a few years after that, a disease came through in the United States, a disease named stripe rust. And a lot of our wheats were susceptible to that disease. So they tested this particular miserable-looking wheat and found out it was highly resistant to that and a bunch of other diseases. So today, it's in the pedigree, in the genetic background of virtually all the wheat's grown in the United States, and the annual contribution to production is a couple $100 million at the farm level. And the annual benefit of just saving that one miserable-looking wheat just to American farmers, just for that one crop, if we just made that investment one time, we'd probably be able to generate enough income to conserve all of agricultural diversity forever.
That's stunning.
Well, it points out how valuable this resource is. It's pretty cheap to conserve. You have to take precautions, like having a backup insurance plan up near Svalbard. But it's still really, really cheap, and the insurance value is just absolutely tremendous, particularly when you see what kinds of challenges that agriculture is going to face in the future.
Carrie, we'll check in maybe when you hit a million.
Hit a million or something.
Right. Hey, thanks for talking with us.
We'll get there. Thank you very much.
Carrie Fowler is the executive editor of the Global Crop Diversity Trust.